Today, our guest on The Daily Guru is Quinn Kiley, a co-manager of the FAMCO MLP and Energy Income Fund. And Quinn, as I understand it, your main focus is on pipelines and delivery rather than exploration and production. So can you tell us a little bit about the fund's objectives and your investing methodology?
Sure. And as you said, we're focused on energy infrastructure, primarily through what are called master limited partnerships, which is a niche of the energy world. They're publicly traded partnerships, and they're a great investment vehicle. However, there are some tax complications associated with MLPs, and this fund that we're in, that we've launched a couple years ago, is focused on trying to return similar returns to the MLP asset class, but do it without the tax complications. So we're trying to get a relatively high yield, a growth component in the returns, a low correlation to other asset classes, so it's a great diversifier, and trying to do it with lower volatility, and all through a publicly traded fund that provides a 1099 and solves some of the tax complexities with owning MLPs directly.
Now, as you mentioned, this is a fairly new fund, formed back in 2010. What was the reason to form a new fund in the energy space at that time?
Sure. Well, like I said, there are some complications with owning MLPs directly, and although we have a large business on that, focused on that strategy, we've noticed that there's a whole series of new exchange-traded products and new funds that have come out trying to address the tax complexities of MLPs because there's great investor demand to own them, but there's some hurdles to owning them. And in our view, a lot of these funds were flawed in structure. And so we wanted to develop a product that gave people the investor experience of owning the characteristics and attributes of MLPs, would replicate MLP performance over a cycle, but do it in an efficient manner. And so this fund does it in a tax-efficient manner, unlike the other open-end funds that are 100% MLPs. And we're also trying to broaden the opportunity set here. We're investing across MLPs, similar energy infrastructure companies, and we're doing it across their capital structure. So not just equity, we're also looking to buy some of the bonds, which provide some of that lower volatility that I mentioned earlier.
And before we began recording today, we were just chatting briefly, and you had mentioned that this particular fund really is something that could be appropriate for a wide range of retail investors?
Yeah, it's generally available on many of the broker-dealer systems that many retail investors have their accounts on, so it's easily accessible. It's a very affordable share price. You can buy as little as one share, there are no tax complexities associated with it like there would be if you owned MLPs directly. And those complexities, I keep generalizing them, but they're getting a K-1 instead of a 1099, having the obligation of potentially filing your tax returns in multiple states. And those complexities don't come along with this fund. Additionally, a lot of investors do majority of their investing through retirement accounts, so tax-exempt accounts. This fund is appropriate for those types of accounts as well.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the holdings in this fund. Maybe I'll just let you name maybe two or three and tell us why you like these.
Sure. One name that we found interesting and we've owned for the majority of the life of the fund is Williams Companies. The ticker is WMB. And when we bought it early on in the fund, the theme was severalfold. One, they're exposed across the energy value chain to the growth that's going on domestically in energy as we're developing these shale reserves for both oil and gas around the country. And Williams had exposure on the oil and gas side, the producing side, as well as and primarily on the infrastructure side, so the pipelines that carry these products around the country. And our view was that they were going to realize great growth and great value through those business lines, but also they were the general partner in an underlying master limited partnership. We thought that the value there was not properly recognized by the market, and that there was an opportunity for a separation or reorganization of this business through separating the E&P business and also a realization of the value of the general partner. And that came to fruition last year when Williams spun off its E&P business to its shareholders. And since then, we've had it's great performance and a realization of value there. So that's one example of a theme that we've been exposed to. Actually, I'd say it's two examples of themes that we're exposed to. We really like the idea of the restructuring theme where there's a huge growth and a need for capital in the energy space. You need to realize that capital in the most efficient form, and that can lead to restructuring. And then secondly, the growth story that underlies all this is the development of shales in, domestically in this country. And it's really a game changer for the energy spectrum across the board, and specifically to oil and gas companies.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a chart of this as you're speaking, Quinn, and I'm just looking at, in addition to the dividend yield, you've got some nice price appreciation on this one in the past several months, so it kind of looks like, are you looking for these total return plays?
I think that's fair. I mean, there's really two components to it. We think that yield is a significant portion of the return expectation inside the portfolio. We think it's an important expectation of the investors in the fund, so we want to own securities that generate that yield. In the energy infrastructure world, you tend to have very stable cash flows, and that's because these are essential assets that are required for energy to be delivered around the country, which I like to think about as job one of the economy. If MLPs and energy infrastructure companies don't do that job, nothing else works. And that means that they have stable, visible cash flows. The stable, visible cash flows can then be paid out as a stable dividend. And because they're associated with growth and the growth of energy domestically, there's going to be a growth component as well. So that combination is a good total return story, but it's really anchored by the yield and the income produced by the assets.
Mm-hmm. Do you have maybe another name or even two that you can mention to us today?
Sure. Well, you know, there's a large MLP that is widely held, Enterprise Product Partners. It's a decent-sized position in the fund, and it is exposed to natural gas and natural gas liquids, as well as crude oil and refined products all across the country. It's the largest MLP by market cap, and the most liquid by market cap, or by daily liquidity as well. And it's a great way for people to have exposure to MLPs in a single holding. Now, again, the tax complexities aside, it's a great single name to own, and it gives you exposure to all the good things that are happening domestically in the U.S. right now, with a little bit less commodity price, a significant less amount of commodity price exposure than you would if you were to buy an ExxonMobil or something like that. And also, it is entirely focused domestically, which we think is great because there's a lot of geopolitical uncertainty, and there's some issues going around in Europe or whether it be the Mideast that might lead to uncertainty in operations as well as prices of commodities. So if you can curtail that risk exposure to the U.S., I think it's a good place to be. And I'll give you another name that we really like is Energy Transfer Equity, and that name has been in the news recently because of two large M&A deals that they've done in the past year. One, they have announced and then closed, which was the acquisition of Southern Union Gas, which was an MLP buying a corporation. And we hadn't really seen deals like that in the past. And then just recently they announced that they were going to acquire Sunoco, the large refiner and oil and refined product pipeline company. So you're starting to see these MLPs, which historically were a small niche area of the energy world, step up, grow, and because of that growth and because of the quality of their long-term growth plans, are able to access the capital needed to do larger acquisitions. So Energy Transfer is a great example of a mid-cap growing to a large-cap. Enterprise Product Partners, great example of a large-cap MLP that is executing across the country.
Last question for you today, based on something you just said. Do you anticipate that the MLP area will be ripe for further M&A activity in the next few years?
I do. I think I wouldn't go so far as to call for MLPs to continue to acquire large energy companies. It might happen on a one-off basis. What I think you're going to see is that MLPs are going to continue to build and buy energy infrastructure across the country, and that's going to be a significant growth platform. Historically, it's always been focused on buying assets, less so than companies. Today, you're starting to see them step out and buy more companies. So I think the larger MLPs have access to capital that will allow them to do big acquisitions, but all MLPs have access to enough capital to do smaller acquisitions and then to build out on top of their geographic footprint. So that's really the growth. Whether it's a new asset by acquisition or a new asset by building, that's the growth story of MLPs.
Well, Quinn, this has been a great discussion, very interesting. Thank you for sharing your views on this particular area of the energy sector, and it's been great speaking with you today.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.